Hello, this is Eric Sinrod along with my colleague Jonathan Armstrong. We're the Cross Atlantic Duane Morris Partners that weekly bring you Tech Law 10, where information technology and the law intersect. So this week, Jonathan, I know you're interested in this brouhaha regarding Rupert Murdoch. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think this has been one of the most fascinating weeks that I've been in practice. I'm speaking here right from the heart of the City of London, and if I sort of craned my neck round the building in front of me and looked up a bit, I could sort of see the Bank of England, the very heart of the city. And trust me, in sort of 20 years I've been a professional in the UK, it takes a lot to shock the City of London, and I think all of this has. Let's start with one of the least bizarre aspects of this case, and you'll get an example of that. One of the least bizarre aspects is that one of the investigative reporters who disclosed a lot of this stuff that was going on was Hugh Grant. Now, if you start off that that's one of the least surprising aspects of the case, Hugh Grant acting as an investigative reporter, commissioned by his former girlfriend Jemima Goldsmith when she was a guest editor of a publication, then you know how bizarre the whole story is going to get. And basically what the story is about is an allegation that the News of the World, which was until Sunday just gone, the largest circulating English language newspaper in the world, the allegation was that the News of the World have for some time been hacking into people's phone accounts, duping people to give information, and running stories on the back of that. Some 4,000 people have been affected, and there have been a couple of police investigations which haven't brought up that much information until all of these new details came to light. And some of the victims now have appeared on news items, on serious programs, telling their story, and they range from John Prescott, who was the Deputy Prime Minister in the Blair administration, to Gordon Brown, the last Prime Minister, and to Steve Coogan, better known for his performance, I guess, in Around the World in 80 Days. And we've had the bizarre, two bizarre days when probably our biggest news discussion program in the UK on the BBC, Question Time, one of the guests on Question Time, which is normally high-level politicians, was Hugh Grant. And then on Newsnight, the equivalent daily program, Steve Coogan, the actor, was one of the expert guests then. And more allegations have come out stretching to different publications. News Corporation acted very quickly and just shut the News of the World down, even though, as I say, it was, until Sunday, the largest selling newspaper in the world, English language newspaper. But it seems that other newspapers, most of them so far part of the Murdoch empire, have done other bad things, including hacking into the voicemail of a girl that was killed and deleting some of those voicemail messages, which could have helped the police in finding her killer, hacking into the voicemail of some of our returning war heroes to get information about their private life, hacking into the victims of our 7/7 attacks, the equivalent of your 9/11 attacks on a much smaller scale, getting the medical details of the illnesses of Gordon Brown's son, duping a leading UK law firm into giving away details of property transactions. I mean, the list is literally endless and is political dynamite. This has caused all sorts of ructions in the in Parliament, because our current Prime Minister David Cameron had appointed a press secretary who had been the editor of this publication. And David Cameron was close to Rebecca Wade, the News Corporation executive, who is, it is claimed by some, has been part of this campaign. Cameron went to her wedding. Cameron and his wife allegedly go horse tracking with Rebecca Brooks and her husband. So the whole thing has been a mess. As a result, News Corporation were bidding for some television assets, a business called B Sky B, a publicly listed entity in the UK. The government referred that to the competition regulator as a result. It's a long, long story as to why. But then we speak to you today, Wednesday, when News Corporation have just, within the last hour or so, withdrawn their bid for this public entity. The price, share prices had extraordinary volatility, sort of down 6, up a little bit, down 10%. Huge numbers. It's a large organization, probably the largest commercial broadcaster in the UK, certainly. And it is impossible to get the enormity of these issues. And of course, they're the sort of things that you and I talk about every day, Eric. A lot of issues around probity, a lot of issues around data privacy legislation. And it seems to me off the top of my head that there are at least 4 possible criminal consequences for those involved. First of all, timing in some respects is unfortunate. The UK Bribery Act started to take force just on the 1st of July. And whilst most of the actual acts, things like allegations of bribing police officers or the public officials, took place prior to the new legislation coming in, some of those acts may be continuing acts. So if police officers are still being paid, then obviously that's going to trigger the new Bribery Act, if not the old legislation. And why that's relevant is that that's a reverse burden of proof. We've talked about this before, Eric, but under Section 7 of our bribery legislation, senior people have to investigate. They have to be responsible for the acts of those entities. And even U.S. national directors can be liable for criminal offences, both under the Act itself and under provisions relating to them being a director or officer of the company. So that's number one. Number two, we have specific investigatory legislation similar to your wiretapping statutes called RIPA, the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act. They have what's called consent and connivance provisions. So if somebody hacks into a phone, if their boss knew about it and turned the other way, they can be liable to be convicted of criminal offences as well. Thirdly, we have something called the Computer Misuse Act. So this covers, for example, people legitimately getting into a computer to which they had access but using it for an unauthorized purpose. So, for example, police officers who've taken a bung getting into the police computer and using that for the wrong purposes. Interestingly, this legislation was brought in way back in the day when Prince Philip's computer was hacked into, and there are allegations in this investigation as well that the royal family were also victims of hacking here. So again, specific criminal provisions. And fourthly, our data protection privacy legislation, we've talked about this before as well, the monetary penalties were increased to £500,000 maximum monetary penalty per incident. And if we are talking about 4,000 people who are the victims of this conduct, then obviously 500,000 times 4,000 ends up being a big number, even for a rich US corporation. Incidentally, the politician who's led the first stage of the political inquiry today has said that at the current rate that the police are meeting with victims and hearing about the personal data that's been hacked, at the current rate, it will take 30 years to investigate all of those victims. So safe to say it's going to be some while before we get all of the facts on this. And this story is evolving so quickly that this is, I guess, going to be one podcast, Eric, where the minute you and I stop talking, it'll probably be out of date. But I'm hoping I'm sort of at least explaining what a big deal it is. And just to amplify that, a guy I do some work with, a very good guy in the U.S. called Richard Levick, who does a lot of work around reputation for multinational businesses. Richard told me yesterday that he'd had some statistics to show that even in the U.S., this News of the World case got more coverage last week in the U.S. press than the final space shuttle launch. So I know it's a big story here, but Richard tells me it's a big story over there as well. Are there U.S. aspects to it? Things like attorney generals, would they get involved? What's going to happen over there?
Well, and in fact, you know, that's a fantastic summary, and I can feel your passion regarding this story, and you really put it together very succinctly. We are winding down just a little bit here in terms of our time, but I just wanted to ask you this, and then maybe you can throw that question back at me. I mean, how far up the food chain do you think this will go in terms of criminal prosecution in the U.K.?
I think that generally speaking, what happens is the top of the food chain, I think, would probably have to be investigated or at least would have a case to answer. And I don't personally know, and have not looked it up, the actual structure of the News of the World entities. They own other newspapers called the Sun and the Times, who are also now implicated. I don't know which entities own, you know, publish those, and who are the directors of those organizations, and so on and so on. But in this type of investigation, I think the police will be looking up the chain. And the answer to that question, almost certainly, Eric, will be who's touched the emails. Almost always in these cases, these days, it turns on emails. They are the perpetual witness to wrongdoing in any corporate investigation. And equally, in the newspaper culture, I know we've talked about this before, there is a copying in culture in the media. If you've got a great story and you're a journalist and you want to advance, of course you're going to tell the editor of the publication that you've got the great story, it's down to you, it's a great scoop, you want that front page. And I would be incredibly surprised if we don't see some senior people copied into those emails. Once their name's on the email, it is very hard for them to deny that they had knowledge. And once they have knowledge, then, as I said, under the consent and connivance provisions under these criminal offences, they are going to be the subject of investigation. And because the police have allegedly got it wrong twice, there is going to be real pressure to make sure that that investigation gets wide rather than narrow. So this is a significant case, and we're going to be feeling the after tremors of the earthquake we've had today for 4, 5, 6 years to come.
Right. This is a fast-evolving situation. You're absolutely right. I think it's moving quicker where you are, clearly, and we'll have to see what develops. You know, what happens here in the U.S. might, you know, follow what happens there in the U.K., and it depends, you know, in terms of impact here. And, you know, I believe some of the involved entities might be listed on the U.S. exchanges. There have been situations in the past where we have prosecutorial authorities that, you know, want to find out, you know, and investigate whether there's fire behind the smoke. Sometimes there's some political ambition involved as well. So I don't want to speculate in this given situation what's going to happen here, but we'll be seeing soon how this moves forward. So this one has been more like a Tech Law 15 today. Thank you for bearing with us. But Jonathan actually was quite succinct and concise. Given, you know, all that's happening here. So we'll sign off now. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, along with Jonathan Armstrong. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can find us both on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Jonathan, if you want to make a closing comment.
Yeah, I'm at jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. On Twitter, I'm @ArmstrongJP, and I'm probably posting maybe about 5-10 Twitter postings a day at the moment as this evolves. And we've looked on Twitter at things like share price, reputation, criminal offences that might have been committed. So do by all means take a visit to us there and join in if you want more information on anything, or you've got questions to ask. Use Twitter, use email, use LinkedIn. We're always happy to hear from you. And as Eric says, thanks very much for bearing with us for an overlong Tech Law 10 this week. We'll be back to normal next. Thank you for listening.
And I'm on Twitter at Eric Sinrod, and I post a weekly cyber law blog there. Thank you so much. Until next week.